Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You're listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast. And today I wanted to talk about a company called Trupanion. For full disclosure, I am a shareholder in the company. Most of my investors are shareholders in the company through Granite State Capital Management. So I do have a position. Everything I say is not a buy or sell recommendation, nor am I giving any advice. And on top of that, I could sell or buy more at any time without any notice. So with that out of the way, I wanted to discuss some of the recent news articles going on around Trupanion. The Seeking Alpha articles I find incredibly misleading, and there was a recent blog post of a investor, a fund that owned stock in the company. They recently sold due to some fears that they had. What I don't understand is these people say they've done all this research on the company, and you can literally spend an hour of time and realize that what these articles and blog posts are saying, a lot of it is incorrect. Not an opinion, just actually factually incorrect. So I just wanted to bring up some issues. There was an article from Seeking Alpha, for instance, on August 12th, 2019. And the author, just named The Capitalist, so don't even know his name, but The Capitalist, writes this article saying Trupanion $8 price target, adverse selection exposed in filings. Now that sounds really terrifying. Now for some of you who don't know how bad the term adverse selection is in the insurance industry, basically it's where the healthy group leaves and you're left with just the sick people. So the theory for adverse selection, say at a vet hospital, would be the healthy pets don't want to pay for insurance anymore, really the healthy pet owner, since dogs and cats don't have their own finances. And you're left with just the sick pets. And what ends up happening is your only clients are the sickest ones. And now you start mounting up all these insurance claims, and your loss ratios go through the roof and you go bankrupt. So for an insurance company, adverse selection is like one of the most horrible things that could put a company out of business. So it's actually pretty terrifying when you read this article. And it says that Trupanion is launching a more cost-competitive product in Florida, with the dramatic change of including up to a 50% coinsurance, meaning that Trupanion would only pay 50% of the claim. And then they say, although I have repeatedly commented on the non-competitive nature of the Trupanion offering and the lack of growth that it is causing, the company has maintained that it's, quote, business as usual, which, by the way, it is. I'm saying that he didn't say that, and I'm assuming it's a he. Maybe it's a she. I don't know, because the person doesn't say who they are. Then this person, the capitalist, goes, a Florida filing shows that Trupanion is highlighting adverse selection as a key driver for requesting approval of this new offering. Trupanion claims that it's Trupanion Express software that allows vet assistants to send insurance offerings to customers at checkout is a key differentiator. Well, that is true. It appears, as bears have long suggested, that selling insurance in the emergency room poses serious risk for adverse selection, and that Trupanion is trying to pivot its offerings because of that risk. Now, it's interesting that the company is highly shorted, and it also seems interesting that the stock price tends, there was a few months ago this happened as well, where the stock price plummeted, and it just so happened to be around the time where all these negative articles on Seeking Alpha came out. Now, I don't really care. I actually kind of like it. And I the more short sellers, the better. Because I lend out my shares and I lend out the shares for my investors. So right now in Interactive Brokers, the borrow rate to short Trupanion, it's about 10%. And Interactive Brokers gives clients half that money. So I'm, in essence, getting a 5% return on any shares that I lend out for both my and my investors' accounts. So the more people shorting, the higher the interest rate goes. That being said, this adverse selection idea is not actually accurate. So it is true that in the Florida filing, they have put this adverse selection claim, but there's a reason they're doing that. It's a new product. They don't have as much data. A lot of these vet hospitals are in rural parts of Florida, and they're just testing this out. Now, it's possible with this new product that it's not going to work out, and they'll scrap it. Trupanion does experiments from time to time. Now, the company thinks it's going to work out. We'll see what happens. But they're putting the adverse selection in there as a disclosure due to the lack of data. The company doesn't actually think they're going to have an adverse selection problem, but it's part of the regulatory filing that they kind of have to do it. And they're being as cautious as possible where... You know, the company understands that the Florida insurance regulator tends to be pretty strict. And if they can make this work in Florida, they can make this work in most of the rest of the country. Now, that's why they put it in the filing. Not that they actually think that will happen. They're just saying it's a risk. The other thing is if you look at Trupanion's current product, adverse selection has not been an issue. In fact, the thesis of the company, and the company is very open about this, is people who take their pets to the vet tend to give more of a shit about their pet, meaning they probably take better care of their pet than the average pet owner. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So, I mean, I can give you an anecdote. I grew up with, you know, I've had now two dogs in my life, and those dogs were always taken to the vet, and we took really good care of those dogs. My brother had a cat named Oreo. Kind of psycho, that guy, but I think all cats are kind of psycho, personally. With cats, I'm not going to go on a rant with cats, but my brother would take that cat to the vet, and like that cat was on like dialysis and had kidney issues the entire, you know, span of its life, and my brother would give it injections every night. I mean, literally for a freaking cat, you know, and he looked at Oreo as his brother. He's an interesting dude, actually very cool, very smart. So what I'm saying is the adverse selection time and time again has shown not to be true in the vet hospitals. And why it's so important around the vet hospitals, it's the veterinarians that are, you know, letting their patients, I don't know what you call them, letting their dog and cat owners know about Trupanion, because it works out for the vets, it works out for the customers. It's a win-win across the board. I'm not going to go into the Trupanion thesis too much. That could be for another episode. So the adverse selection fear is not only overblown, it's irrelevant. And on top of that, there's another argument of, well, Trupang runs the risk that over time, the healthy pets are going to leave because if they're healthy, you know, Trupang is not cheap. They're the best value, but they're not cheap. There are things at Costco that are not cheap, but they tend to be the best value. So Trupang is always about the, you know, the customer value proposition, not about being the cheapest. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later because that's actually very important. So here we have a company, and the best value around, at least they know that. Not everyone knows that yet. But this is what's interesting. This idea, this notion that the healthy pet owners aren't going to see the value is ludicrous. And I'll tell you why. Most claims, there's a lot of claims that get filed every month through Trupanion. Most of the claims are only a couple $100. So we're not talking about a $10,000 heart surgery most of the time. So when pet owners take their pet to the vet and there's a little issue and they file a claim, they get to continuously see the benefits of their policy. They get to see how quick those payouts are. And of course, the veterinarians are incredibly happy because it increases the profits of their vet hospitals. It increases revenues of the vet hospitals, and it increases retaining their customers. I cannot tell you how many vets there are where they have a person come in to get their initial checkup with their puppy, and then they never see that guy again. And I've talked to a lot of vets about this issue, and Trupanion is solving that problem. So that's the adverse selection thing with Seeking Alpha. But then I came across an article from someone who's not a short seller and seems like a genuinely good guy. He actually used to be a former Trupanion shareholder, or at least the company he works for did. And it's on a blog, and I'm going to put this in the show notes, called Intrinsic Investing. And the guy, Todd Wenning, who's a CFA, he writes an article through his firm, Ensemble Capital. So Intrinsic Investing is the blog from Ensemble Capital. And, you know, he says, as discussed on our fall 2018 conference call, we own shares of pet insurance company Trupanion in our core equity strategy. In July, we sold our shares prior to earnings and wanted to provide an explanation of that decision. Now, I personally think this explanation not only is weak, but it shows a lack of understanding about certain key parts of this business. And these seem like pretty smart guys. So, you know, if Ensemble Capital has an issue with this episode or something that I'm saying, let me know and let's talk about it. But, yeah, I'm a little stumped. So I was reading through this and, you know, they have a few concerns. So the first big concern is the growth of the company. So they say, in recent quarters, however, we have grown concerned about Trupanion's ability to communicate its value to pet owners and win market share. Over the past 2 years, for example, Trupanion subscription pet growth trailed the industry growth rate as defined by the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, NAFIA, after years of outperformance. And they show a table, which you'll see if you look at the blog. And they show that the Trupanion subscription pet count in 2018 grew by 15.9% compared to the category, you know, the industry of 17.1%. So it's underperforming, at least according to that table, it's underperforming the industry growth rate. They go on to say, and by the way, this part I actually agree with, and I still agree with it, where they say we anticipated an S curve in North America pet insurance as it becomes more accepted by vets and pet owners. Now, just stop for a second. For those who don't know what an S-curve is, it basically shows rate of growth in an industry. So they look like these like S's. So, you know, a company's growing, but then they might either hit a flat line. So they're gonna, you know, start investing more money, and growth starts stalling, and then it picks up again. So if you look at that visually, it looks like an S. They call it an S curve, and there's books about it. It's an interesting concept and worth learning about. So, and they go, and that seems to be happening. Yet, true paying subscriber growth has not accelerated in step. In fact, at True Paying's recent investor day, management slightly reduced its subscription pet guidance for 2019 and 2020. And then they go, when there are industry tailwinds emerging, moat companies should further their lead from the pack. Now it could be argued that competitors are underpricing their policies to win share in an unsustainable fashion. True Paying's policies are expensive, blah, blah, blah. Then go into how their payouts work. Now, it's not that that could be an issue. That actually is what's going on. So I'll get to that in a second. They also say a major part of our thesis was that Trupanion's advantage having, quote, active referral relationships with nearly 10,000 North American vet hospitals and its success at installing its automated claim software, Trupanion Express, at 4,000 hospitals, and that other pet insurance companies have tried to replicate their territory partner model and have failed, which was a sign to us that this could be a moat source for Trupanion. Well, yes, that is a sign of a moat. Well, but let's continue. While vet offices are not allowed to solicit insurance, Trupanion's territory partners encourage vets and office staff to start asking new pet owners who their insurance is with and start a conversation about insurance. They say it's a win-win for everyone. So they go into the moat, the culture, blah, 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 blah. And they say, given the industry's rapid growth, we think it's perfectly normal for regulators and insurance companies to have growing pains. Let's see here. At the end of the day, they say, we've lost faith, however, in the company's ability to reach rulemaker status in a highly competitive market where value proposition communication is a challenge. As such, it does no longer fit our definition of an emerging moat business, and we decided to sell our stake. They also do dismiss short sellers with the regulatory issues. I'm not going to get into that, but it is bullshit. They also say... you know, basically their issue has to do with that the growth is slowing. And then they say, Trupanion is likely the first brand on many vets' mind as they talk about pet insurance with new dog and cat owners. Indeed, Trupanion management said they believe they are generating most of the industry leads through vets starting conversation about pet insurance. This made us even more concerned about the slowing unit growth rate. Why is Trupanion not outpacing the industry when it is the first name many pet owners hear? It could be that pet owners hear about pet insurance from their vet, go home, compare prices, and choose a more affordable option. It's not an impossible problem for Trupanion to solve, but again, consumers don't typically understand insurance value until they file a claim. Hey, there is so much wrong with this. I'm gonna get into this now. So I posted a public rebuttal to a lot of this. One has to do with the slowing growth rates. There was also another issue that was raised in another Seeking Alpha article that there's now these concerns that the prices in California are skyrocketing and that this is unsustainable and that they're only doing this to offset loss ratios. I'm gonna get into that too. So here's the thing. The price of Trupanion stock, you know, it has recently declined from the mid-30s a share to the low 20s a share. And as I said before, Trupanion has very high short interest due to claims of overvaluation. Some people who are really lazy, who really don't understand this company, will say, oh, it just trades at a high price to book level, so therefore it's overvalued. Some people talk about the regulatory concerns, which is literally a non-issue. And I'm not going to get into that because, again, that's a whole other episode. But basically, there's the big thing, which is that the business model is flawed and unsustainable. Growth is slowing down, and the prices are skyrocketing in California. So there's always new stuff coming up. Now, even some longs like Ensemble Capital are selling. I knew another guy also who sold. Actually, two other people now that have sold. This guy Todd Wenning at Ensemble Capital, he's talking about the industry growth rate as defined by the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, which sounds really important and really official, which it is, has slowed after years of outperformance. So, it's a Monday afternoon, late afternoon as I'm talking, I'm a little exhausted. So, the concerns raised by Ensemble Capital. So, right, Todd shares a few concerns on his blog. So I'm gonna go concern through concern and then give you my rebuttal. So the first one is, Todd assumes that when there are industry tailwinds, most companies with what he refers to as, quote, emerging moats should be able to continue to gain market share. And recently this hasn't happened with Trupanion, and he cites this as a red flag, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, where Todd also explains that Trupanion is often the first brand that vet customers hear from their vets, yet Trupanion has a slowing growth rate and is not outpacing the industry recently. Trupanion has also raised their prices by 150% in California since 2015, with an additional 20% price hike this year. And there are concerns, and this is from a Seeking Alpha article, there are concerns that this will lead to adverse selection, which is the worst nightmare scenario for any insurers, I was saying at the beginning of this. Healthy pets leaving due to higher prices while the sick pets stay, leading to unsustainable losses. So here are the faulty assumptions. There's actually quite a few faulty assumptions here. So yes, it is true that Trupanion subscription growth only grew by just a bit over 15% compared to the industry's 17% growth rate. But this alone doesn't tell the entire story. And this is why, if you don't understand a company or an industry and you're just looking at a number on its own, it sometimes does tell the whole story, but sometimes it doesn't. And with Trupanion, it often doesn't, interestingly enough. So in reality, Trupanion is actually growing faster than the industry. And this is not rocket science. This literally took me an hour of not even research, because I was just confirming what I already felt. And I'm like, okay, maybe I've been wrong. And I just researched this more. I'm like, nope, this is exactly what I've read before. I don't know where these people are coming from. And I'm really trying to get this. So, Trupanion is actually growing faster than the industry. But you have to compare apples to apples. So they're growing faster than the industry when you compare similar products in the category. So the thing is that... So like, for example, there's lots of cheap products in the pet insurance marketplace that really are not comparable at all. And then also, some companies are underpricing during a period where the pet insurance category is gaining more awareness. The thing is, we've seen this before. Daryl has talked during investor days in Omaha, for instance, that they've had so many competitors come in and then leave in the years that they have been around. So this is not the first time that you see Trupanion growing slower than a lot of these other companies. So I'll give you an example. So Trupanion competitors from time to time will grow faster than the category, and this is due to mispriced policy. So a great example of this is Nationwide. Nationwide grew pretty quickly and grabbed market share about 2 years ago. However, Nationwide had to pull back after a year because they couldn't price their product properly. So another example, and this is often considered the big competitor to Trupanion, which it really isn't. It's a company called Healthy Paws. But let's actually look at Healthy Paws. So if we look at Healthy Paws, They've grown pretty quickly. However, if you look at their pricing, they're able to get away with it because they keep switching underwriters and they keep rolling over new pets to new books of business. Healthy Paws recently had to change their product by introducing caps. They're changing their deductible structure to no longer having zero deductibles. And in addition, you see pricing increases of 30% on top of natural age-based pricing factors. So the fact that they are mispriced has now become a problem for Healthy Paws. Interesting how that works out. And if you go on their website and you happen to live in Washington, they can't even underwrite policies anymore in that state. So when you actually look behind the numbers and you start comparing apples to apples, Trupanion is actually growing faster. Now, the last thing that I want to get into is this whole California thing that's been going on. And there was a Seeking Alpha article about that. So California has been getting a lot of attention for Trupanion. And this concern is also totally unwarranted and, in my opinion, just blown completely out of proportion. So just like Trupanion, let's go back to Healthy Paws for a second. So just like Trupanion, Healthy Paws also files in California. Oh, and you can also look at those filings. I don't know why that article didn't seem to mention Healthy Paws. That's interesting. And 34% of pets need more than a 50% pricing increase. So that's the base rate increases plus 15%, which equals a 65% increase. However, California has capped their pricing increase at 50% this year. So the way you win with your insurance category, and Daryl will say this at Trupanion, is to price more accurately than your competition. I think that's pretty much like common sense. I would hope that's common sense. So short term, this means you won't always be growing faster, right, due to the ebbing and flowing of the many other pet insurance companies that underwrite their policies. However, this has never been shown to be sustainable, which I think is pretty obvious to most of you. And the economic reality always settles in within a few years. So Trupanion is by far the best in the business when it comes to pricing policies accurately to get their 70% target as quickly as they can. And California is no different than what Trupanion has disclosed on their main book of business. All of this is disclosed and all of this is public. This is why all this stuff baffles me. Nothing would suggest that churn is different in California despite the massive pricing increases in recent years. So this is interesting. 1/3 of Trupanion customers will interact with the product in the first year. The company processes 80,000 claims a month. And as I said before, the average claim is only a few hundred dollars. So when rates increase, there's increased churn of 20% across their entire book. And California is literally exactly the same. It's no different. And one of the biggest opportunities that Trupanion has publicly talked about is actually improving the statistics on their first year churn rate. So there's actually going to be improvement. You know, it's not going to get worse, but it probably will get better knowing how good they are with data. So only upside from here. And I think that's a high probability regarding first year churn rate. So the reality, right, is in California, the greatest usage among Trupanion customers are specialty and referral hospitals. So that's, for those that don't know what that is, that's like a cancer center, a cardiologist, a urologist, that they actually have this stuff for pets now. It's interesting, right? So these referral hospitals have led to greater Trupanion customer population density. And the California market especially has seen large increases in these types of hospitals, and the Trupanion customers are seeing value in them as they can see through claims passing through those hospitals. So all of this stuff of these red flags and these concerns about California and slowing growth, it just is, do you guys not research this stuff? So the business model is not broken. I don't think any of this, quite frankly, should be news. I typically don't even like addressing things, but I'm doing it because I feel like I kind of have to. I was actually waiting for an article to come out to be a rebuttal to this stuff, and nothing has come out, so I'm doing it. None of this should be news. I think in the 2 years of me doing this podcast or more now, I don't think I've ever done this before, but I felt I kind of had to. But yeah, the panic ensues by those who can't see the context behind the numbers. But yeah, I'm happy for people who want to keep shorting. So the shorts, keep shorting, please short more. You know, the borrow rate has gone to 10%, and hope it goes higher. And that's really it. If you have any questions, you know, shoot me an email, intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. Or you can contact me, through my website, on Granite State Capital, gscm.co. So yeah, that's the story, and I just wanted to address all this. So I'll put some notes when you guys are at a computer. You can look at these look at these articles and make the decision for yourself. But that's my view. I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.